When you make a financial investment, there's always a measure of calculated risk. In fact, when you scan through the fine print, there's often a laborious section of legalese reminding you that you could lose it all. The upside, of course, is the prospect of making a handsome return. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our study in Paul's second letter to Timothy. In the passage we're looking at today, we'll discover two investments in life that will never expire and, in fact, deliver amazing returns. Before we hear the sermon, let's read the passage together.
We're engaged in a study of Paul's last words. They happen to have been written to a younger man, about 35, 40 years of age, named Timothy. This is his second and final letter to Timothy. These are, in fact, Paul's final words in recorded form. And because of that, they are especially meaningful to all of us. I'll be reading for you verses 13 through 18 of the first chapter. Though the man is writing from a dungeon, it is well with his soul. And he writes to remind us of the two things that are eternal in life, worth our investment. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Words written by a man in a dark cell, perhaps late one night under torchlight, preserved for us to this day.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Two Eternal Investments.
For the next few moments, I want to invite you to a place you've never been before. I want you to imagine what it would be like to be there. I want you to imagine yourself captive in a dungeon. Your captors have the power of life and death. They can torture you. They can kill you. They can interrogate you. There's no way you can escape. It's almost impossible to imagine ourselves in such a setting. But until we do, we'll not really appreciate the way Paul writes what he does and how he says what he says in this last letter that ever came from his hand. While I was away on a time of vacation recently, I looked over again the wonderful book by Congressman Sam Johnson titled Captive Warriors. Long before Sam Johnson was a congressman, he was a fighter pilot flying missions over enemy territory among the Viet Cong. He was shot down. Amazingly, parachuted to safety, but not for very long. His captors found him, and the torturing began and continued for the better part of 7 years. While in various places living on rats and roaches and lizards and spiders for the only protein he could take in, he survived. The fingers of his hands were broken, bones of his body broken in the torturing experiences of interrogation, and he never broke. He remains in my mind and many of our minds a true hero. You owe it to yourself to read his story. He will help you identify with life in a dungeon, a cell on occasion not long enough for him to stretch out in. I quote from sections of his book. Malnutrition, filth, and grossly inadequate conditions finally took their toll. No part of my body was spared the huge hot boils. Every movement was painful. The rough, coarse fabric of my prison clothes scratched and irritated the oozing sores. I wondered if I might die. I was starving. Listlessness and depression hung on me. I had no energy. I estimated that I had dropped from about 190 pounds to 130 pounds. I was more a skeleton than a man. Had to fight to retain my sanity. I struggled to think cohesive thoughts. Memories became all-absorbing. In that dark cave of a cell surrounded by the stench of death, the present was unbearable, the future almost unthinkable. Only the past had meaning. I brooded on memories. I was amazed at what the mind could retain. After years of storage, I remembered Bible stories from Sunday school. Songs and verses I hadn't heard since grade school came back to me with perfect clarity. I was able to picture in living color toys I had played with at 3 and 4 years old. Family members I hadn't seen in more than 3 decades came rushing back to my memory. Sometimes I wondered if I really was the child I saw in those images. I turned my attention toward God. I could still talk freely to him. I knew with certainty that he was present in the darkness. In that dark, cramped closet of a cell, he listened when I prayed. This I know without a doubt. He answered me. When Bible stories and verses of comfort came into my thoughts, I knew he placed them there. I was comforted and encouraged, and I began to know my Creator in a way I had never known him before. I now know in retrospect that God's intimate interaction with me strengthened me and built my faith, so that I would be able to trust him in the darkness of the terrible days that still lay ahead for me. It's almost impossible for you and me, sitting in a comfortable place like this, with more than enough to eat for breakfast, lunch, and supper, and meals in between, with a car to drive and freedom to enjoy, it's almost impossible for us to enter into a world that is reduced to a cell not long enough to stretch out in for months and years and years. That's life in a dungeon. Not a word of bitterness or blame. Not a lingering complaint. If you know the man today, he's a man of joy and great humor and delight, but deep, deep convictions regarding the sustaining of our liberties, which are rapidly being taken from us, and the power of Jesus Christ at work in a life. The crucible will bring the greatness out of us, and so it did in the life of the Apostle Paul. Not a word of bitterness or blame, not a complaint. In fact, frequently we will read words of gratitude and joy, even praise to his God. As Solzhenitsyn put on one occasion, "Thank you, prison, for having been in my life." What a treasure this second letter is, the last letter Paul ever wrote. For all we know, only hours after the final stroke of the stylus, he heard the boot steps above him and the hole is opened, and they drag him up out of the dungeon and take him to the Ostian Way, where his head would be severed from his body. Final words, 2 Timothy. No wonder Bishop Moule said on one occasion, "I can scarcely read these words without a mist forming over my eyes." You remember where we've been in these past number of days together in the letter. A brief review. I've given you an outline to follow. You'll find in your worship folder. You may wish to turn to that now and fill it in as we work our way through this. But do not forget, these are words of a man in a dungeon. Easy to forget that, because they are words of uplifting value and courage. There's not a reluctant bone in Paul's body. He is contagious with enthusiasm. As he hands the torch, still flaming, to Timothy, the younger man, you read in verse 1, this is from Paul, an apostle. Verse 2, to Timothy. He writes directly to Timothy, "My beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God our Father." Not heartache, misery, what a dreadful circumstance in which I find myself. It's grace, mercy, and peace all the way through the letter. How closely Timothy must have clutched the letter when he received it. How many times he must have read it over and over again. This is followed by his thanking the Lord, whom he served with a clear conscience, verse 3, the way his forefathers had done. See how his memory going back to those days yet past, and even says at the end of verse 4, I long to see you even as I recall your tears, that I may be filled with joy. I remember them, Timothy. That happens when you're in a dungeon. That happens when you know you'll never escape. You're lost in the memory of the way things were. He will say before the end of the letter, "Come before winter. I long to be with you again." How lonely he must have felt. And he, like Congressman Johnson, is brooding with memories as he comes to verse 5. I'm mindful of your own roots, the sincere faith within you that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you, Timothy, rekindle the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. And Timothy, do not let your temperament guide your ministry, because God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Timothy, step up. As we say today, man up. Step into it, Timothy. Don't hold back. My life has been spent. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Here's the torch. Run with it. Don't drop it. Don't extinguish it. No wonder he says in verses 8 through 12, not to be unashamed, not to be unafraid, but to be courageous, because God is able to guard what we have entrusted to him. The end of verse 12 reads, and he will do that till the day we stand before him. Now, it's in that context. Can you believe it's written from a dungeon? I mean, you would think he's sitting in a high-rise apartment with ease all around him. On the contrary, these are his last words. But that explains the passion with which he writes. Now, let me say this before I go any further into verses 13 to 18. There are only two things on this earth that are eternal. Only two things. The first is God's word. The truth of the Holy Scriptures is eternal. It will go with us all the way through eternity. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will what? It will live forever, writes the prophet. Matthew adds these words from Jesus: heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. God's word is eternal. When we are in the heaven of heavens and when we are with our Savior, we will see evidences of the word of God. We will hear the word of God again proclaimed by the one of whom it speaks. How marvelous will that be? Please do not think heaven will be a great big Bible class. We will sit around learning things. You'll already know the things that are to be learned on this earth. You will know it as we are known now. So the truth will unfold and we will hear and see the witness of the promises fulfilled. All of that will be ours because God's word is eternal. The whole point of Paul in the next section is treat it with sacred care. It is eternal, Timothy. Now the second that is eternal is people. People. People have eternal souls. 2 Peter 3:10 tells us everything on this earth will be burned up, except, you can count on it, God's word will not be destroyed and obliterated, and the eternal souls of people will never become temporary. Think of it like this. Everyone has eternal life. Everyone has eternal life. Some will spend it with the living Lord because of their relationship with Christ. Others, apart from God, in a place of eternal punishment, away from all the bliss and blessings we will know in heaven. But we all have eternal life. We're all eternal. Every person you talk to has an eternal soul. That includes your teenager. That includes your little kiddos. That includes people that turn against you, as we'll read of in a moment. That includes those who are best friends and those who are your worst enemies who know the Savior. They're eternal. It'll do something to you when you realize that both are eternal investments. I love reminding the men and women at seminary when I have the privilege of speaking there that you are preparing for a lifetime of working in the realm of the two things that are eternal. You will be spending your time in the Word of God, teaching it, preaching it, living it out, and you will spend your time with people, all of whom are eternal. I'm not surprised that Paul would write Timothy about both. In verses 13 and 14, he addresses the eternal Word of God. In verses 15 to 18, he addresses the eternal souls of people. Let's look at both. First, is a passionate charge regarding the truth. Okay, here we go. 13. Timothy, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Timothy, use the words that I have taught you as a pattern for your life. The whole idea of retaining is the thought of making a pattern out of something. Pattern your life according to these words. See the word sound? Sound words. Retain the standard of sound words. It's the word for healthy, wholesome. I've invested in you the wholesome, healthy word of God. Follow what I've taught you. Carry it out as I have taught you the truths of the scriptures. These words, these truths are to be claimed by faith, and they are to be modeled in love. Timothy, go there. You heard them from me, and now they are yours to live out. Before I go to the next one, pause for a moment at this point of retaining the standard. By God's grace, each one of us has known other individuals who have been our Pauls. Stop and think in your own life, and I'll do that in mine. Perhaps it was a believing coach and you were playing on the team, and that coach was the one who aroused your interest in spiritual things and led you to a deeper walk with Christ. Maybe it was a former pastor or a current pastor. It may have been a neighbor who introduced you to Christ, and the result was a relationship that began to grow, and you had a whole new vista of truth open before your eyes. In my case, the first one for me was my mother, who loved Christ long before I did and walked with him. And my father ultimately walking with the Lord as well. And, and a brother and a sister who love the Lord Jesus Christ. What a heritage is mine. It may be a mentor. It may be a professor, a teacher you had at school. Someone was your Paul. Every once in a while, it's nice just to pause from the pace of life and reflect back on that individual or those few individuals that invested the truth in you. What an eternal investment. Just think of what they taught you. Remember the truths, the techniques they passed along, the encouragement, the comfort, the time they spent building into your life. I'm grateful for each one, and in my case, you would honestly know very few of them. But they have all invested in me, and hardly a day passes I don't thank the Lord for one or more of them. Paul is saying, Timothy, I've invested in your life. Now, retain the standard of sound words. Carry out the plan. Model them in grace and in faith. Now look at the next. Guard the treasure. See verse 14. There are a lot of words between guard and the treasure, so let's look past them right now. Verse 14 begins, guard, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure. There you have the sentence. Guard the treasure. For a moment, focus on the word guard. Since we're talking about eternal truth, we need to understand what it means to guard it. This term, phulasso, it's a funny-sounding Greek verb, phulasso. It really means to protect by taking careful measures, to guard something so that it is neither lost nor damaged. Protect is a good synonym. Protect the treasure. It's a treasure. In fact, the treasure has been entrusted to you. See the word entrust? It's the word for deposit, a deposit committed to someone's trust. When you place your check at the bank, you deposit your check into the trust of those who will hold it in your account. You entrust to them your money. They hold it for you. In this case, it's an eternal treasure that has been entrusted to you. Be careful that you treat the word with clarity and with respect. Make sure that in your life and lifetime, you are faithful to guard the treasure through the power of the Holy Spirit, which has been deposited in you. Thank God for the deposit, and thank God for your presence as you guard that treasure and make it known.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Two Eternal Investments. To purchase the CDs or downloadable audio files that comprise this study, just go to insightworld.org and look for Paul's Swan Song. Even though it was originally written to his friend Timothy, we receive Paul's counsel personally today. As he said, the truth of God's Word is a treasure worth guarding. In fact, from the beginning of this ministry, in 1979, we've taken these words to heart. As a regular listener to Insight for Living, you know that Chuck Swindoll's passion and priority will never change. And likewise, when you partner with this ministry, you can have every confidence that our mission will remain the same. With this in mind, would you continue to pray for God's blessing on Insight for Living? And as He leads you, would you be among those who financially support this worthy cause? This program isn't underwritten by any large church or institution. No, we rely entirely on loyal friends like you who give voluntary donations, big and small. And here on this first day in the month of September, I'm pleased to tell you that we've prepared an exclusive resource to thank you for your gift. It's the Gospel of John with Psalms and Proverbs from the Swindoll Study Bible. It won't surprise you that Chuck loves the entire Bible, but it may surprise you that he has a special affection for John, the Psalms, and the Proverbs. And this is a beautiful publication of those favorite books with a handsome blue leather-like cover. When you give a much-needed donation, be sure to request a copy of the Gospel of John with Psalms and Proverbs, excerpted from the Swindoll Study Bible. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or it might be quicker and more efficient to simply give online at insight.org. You can also speak to one of our ministry representatives directly. In the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or online, go to insight.org.
Imagine what it would be like to share communion at the Garden Tomb near Jerusalem. Or picture yourself floating in a boat on the calm, scenic Sea of Galilee.
Isn't it time you saw the Holy Land? Join Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 4th through the 15th, 2018.
Whether it's your first time or your fifth or sixth time, you will love traveling with newfound friends and family who share a similar love and respect for the land of Israel.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries.
You'll learn a lot, yes, but this isn't an academic trip. We squeeze every possible opportunity to ensure your encounters in the Holy Land include quiet moments just between you and the Savior.
Join us March 4th through the 15th, 2018, by calling 888-447-0444. That's 888-447-0444. Or visit us online at insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Glad to have you with us today. Please join us again Monday when Chuck Swindoll's message about two eternal investments continues here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Two Eternal Investments, was copyrighted in 2009, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.